You are listening to the third episode of the GITM podcast, the anime and comic book podcast in which we take things one arc further. I, of course, am your host for Getting the Mecha, Jamal, and I present to you a review of DC Universe Rebirth Issue 1, what I like to call the book that started it all. And what I mean by that is that DC Universe Rebirth Issue 1, which we're reviewing today, was very important in bringing forward new narrative threads for the DC Universe to base itself off of. So if we take Doomsday Clock and The Final Days of Superman, which came previously, it all acts as a foundation for that. And that's what I'll be speaking about in today's episode. So as always, updates on Twitter. Hope you enjoy it. See you on the other side. This is the third episode of the GITM podcast. But before we start, let's just quickly go through the quote-unquote boring stuff, and that is just the spoiler warnings. So I have a spoiler warning out for The Button, Doomsday Clock, The Dark Side War, possibly Dark Knight's Metal, The Final Days of Superman for sure, The Truth of Superman, The Oz Effect, and if there are any others, I will most likely mention them before I say them. So that's just a bit of a heads up. Let's get right into the review and let's start off with the context of DC Universe Rebirth. And arguably, it's quite weird that a book that's based or tries to give context has a context, and that context is the New 52. DC Universe Rebirth Issue 1 mostly bases itself off the Darkseid War and the Final Days of Superman. Those are the two events I'd say definitely shape this. The Darkseid War evidently saw the clash of some of our greatest heroes in the DC Universe, and the clash of some of our greatest villains against some of the greatest villains, and everybody was challenged during that event. Of course, we had the League versus Darkseid. We had Darkseid versus the Anti-Monitor for a time, and many things just converged together. Even just the whole thing with the Mobius chair, and everything came together for this one 10-issue event. And then we have The Final Days of Superman. And The Final Days of Superman is extremely, extremely relevant because it literally marked the death of the greatest symbol of hope, being Superman. Superman is dead in this issue. Superman isn't simply just going to come back. Of course, we have a new Superman, which I'll talk about a bit later. But Superman is dead, and one of the main themes of this book is getting over that. But also another thing that's quite important when it comes to context isn't really just the comic context, but let's talk a bit about industry context. And DC Universe Rebirth's main purpose is to bring back what we liked about the old DC, and by that I mean pre-New 52 and just things before that, and also bring in new and exciting plot lines as a result of being influenced by those previous plot lines. Let's converge those together and make something new and exciting that our audience will love. And who else is better to do that than Geoff Johns himself? Geoff Johns writing this sort of prelude to many, many sagas. Let's talk structure. So DC Universe Rebirth is made up of 4 chapters and an epilogue. And the epilogue, don't skip that if you haven't read this. Don't skip it, because that is probably one of the most important things for the setup for both The Button and Doomsday Clock. Overall, the structure is mostly used for, I would say, facilitating the whole cross-cutting between multiple characters. And as Wally West is one of the main focuses of this book, with names such as Lost and just having 4 chapters, I think is very good for bulking up his plotline. He's one split between multiple parts of space. And when I say space, I mean multiple parts of maybe America or where the heroes lie. He's in between all of those as he's trapped in the Speed Force. And also with that comes the different titles. So if we take Lost, that emphasizes, and it's quite literal, but it emphasizes how of which he's feeling, but also how the entire cast is feeling in this really tense time. With the new Superman, for example, and by new I mean the pre-New 52 Superman, he's lost as to his place in this world as he's confronted by Dr. Oz. And that goes the same for Wally West, which I spoke about being lost in the Speed Force and lacking somewhat of a lightning rod into present day and sort of solid Earth, if you will. And then we have everybody who is mourning Superman. They, of course, are lost. This was arguably, if maybe not officially, the leader of the League. He is the leader of hope. And to see someone like him fall speaks volumes for everybody else, because if he can die, then what threats are out there waiting for them post New 52? Of course, they don't know it's post New 52, but what threats lie out there which they cannot tackle? If we are also talking structure, I think it's right that we give credit mostly to Wally West, and Wally West drives the structure of the story. We get the backstory, of course, to Wally West, and spoilers for Flashpoint, yes, spoilers for Flashpoint, we find out how Flashpoint has now affected him, and that is cut across the entire book. Wally is a device for explaining the ramifications of Flashpoint, and that comes from a personal level, which is again split between the chapters. But also it speaks volumes for the rest of the DC universe. And that's what I really do like about this story, is the fact that it brings an event that was done quite a while ago. This was pre-New 52. It was pretty much what began the New 52, and puts it right into today's context. And that kind of scares me in a way, that Flashpoint, an event from so long ago, still has an impact now. And Flashpoint now is one of the also contexts, which I should have said earlier, it is now heavily based off Flashpoint as well as these other stories. And while we're still on the theme of structure, that stuff about Wally West being an old narrative point with the whole Flashpoint thing, there is quite a bit of contrast with that in DC Universe Rebirth, as it brings forth some newer narrative points. And those narrative points being things such as Captain Atom and the whole microverse situation. That is a problem that now has arisen from DC Universe Rebirth and goes forward and arguably like reproduces itself in another graphic novel. Even the stuff to do with Dr. Oz, I would say, is a new plot point. So it would be unfair if I said that DC Universe Rebirth issue 1 is simply something for bringing back loads of old or arguably forgotten about points. But it brings forward some new points and says, this is now the identity of the DC Universe Rebirth. Take it, read it, go forward with it, rather than just dig back everything that was from before and try to make something new out of it. With all of that being said, I think I've waffled enough about structure. I've been waffling about structure for like ages now. So I think a good point to lie on now is emotion, and emotions are actually really important in this book. As I spoke about before, the whole idea of being lost is very prominent within both the double page spread of Superman and his sort of death site after the Final Days of Superman conclusion, but also Wally himself. And I've spoken about Wally here and there, but I think I'll sort of do a deep analysis right here and now about Wally's character and his role. Wally, in my opinion, dwindles between ambition and hopelessness in the way that he's lost, of course. I think the term lost would imply that he's not simply given up, but as a result of not being found, he has an element of hopelessness within him, with quotes such as, "I've never given up in my life," And then other quotes such as, "It's all out of my control," kind of illustrates my point in the way that he is kind of half in, half out. He kind of has the half glass full approach, but also has the glass half empty approach. I know I didn't say that correctly. I've been looking at that meme for a few days now, but that's not the point. The point is that Wally's character is mixed between emotions. He's not simply sad or angry or happy or determined. He's lost in the Speed Force. Like, what else can you expect? And I think that is a thumbs up from me, because in order to create a truly lost character, they need to feel and illustrate that they are lost. They need to portray that as well as possible. And Wally's portrayal of being lost, I think, is really strong, as he is in flux between multiple emotions. He's also lost physically, not only being in the Speed Force, but he's in flux between, say, solid, grounded matter being Earth and the Speed Force. He's mixed between these almost two states of space. So kind of being between the two, and with that emotion, I think all adds up and makes something that's pretty excellent to observe and read throughout the book. And that becomes even more important, and yes, more important. I haven't stressed the importance enough. Yes, I have. But it becomes even more important when he meets Barry, because all that detail that's put into him about him being lost finally translates to something when he finally finds what is his lightning rod. And that just feels even better when he reunites with Barry post-Flashpoint. And that solidifies its ramifications, not only from the space-time level, but in the emotional level. It's almost like the whole concept of absence makes the heart fonder. As a result of being split from the Speed Force, and I'm not shipping Wally and Barry, okay? I'm not doing that. But arguably, it makes their bond stronger, and that translates into Flash Rebirth. And when I talk Flash Rebirth, I don't mean the other Flash Rebirth of which Barry comes back. By Flash Rebirth, I do mean the newer Flash Rebirth. So not the one following Crisis on Infinite Earths. Spoilers for Crisis on Infinite Earths, when Barry dies as a result of his sacrifice for saving the multiverse. It's not that story, it's the one of which Wally's now returned. So ironically, it's the other Flash returning and reuniting with Barry Allen. I think that's also a strong point of DC Universe Rebirth. It works appropriately to set up new stories and new strands. If we take Titans, and we take Flash Rebirth, or Titans Rebirth, all of those come off DC Universe Rebirth, and DC Universe Rebirth is really good at setting that up for them. As a result of being lost in the Speed Force, that impacts the team's relationship with Wally West in Titans Rebirth, and that therefore has a ramification, and I hope you see what I'm talking about now. There are sort of domino effects as a result of this one book. And for a book to arguably lead you on to read another set of books or another set of comics is pretty impressive. Other links as well, and yeah, I've waffled on about Wally West, but I think he is probably the driver of this book. But for example, if we talk about the Green Lanterns and introducing them, one from the Darkseid War with Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz, and then integrate them into this, and then integrate them into the larger Justice League stories, and they have their own series as well, being Green Lanterns, I think is also a smart move. Bringing forward characters like that into and slowly dripping them into the DC Universe, I don't know how I can say that isn't good. It just shows that they care about development. And they slowly develop these two characters through their tribulations and trials of the Darkseid War, give them a bit of a rest in DC Universe Rebirth, give them more challenges in Justice League, and their main challenges come from Green Lanterns, especially as now things are changing in their contexts. as now we have new faces to represent new people. Although Green Lanterns isn't the only Green Lantern story or Green Lantern series, as we now have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, I love that name, things are looking slightly different though for everybody. And by that I mean everybody now, or most people, have changed or switched roles. So if we take Superman, the Superman we know and love is dead, but the pre-New 52, which I'm sure people still know and love, is now taking his space. We can also apply that to the Flashes. Now we have more than just one Flash, as now we have both Wally Wests and Barry Allen. As a result of Hal's stupidity and greed with the Green Lantern Gauntlet, don't ask me why, he's now having his own series, and who else is better to replace Hal Jordan in the sector we call Earth than Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz? And then most importantly, it's just the fact that everything has changed as a result of this quote-unquote enigmatic being that has taken seemingly 10 years from everybody's lives, and therefore the contexts are rightfully shifted. I think the whole being that's teased out within this and throughout DC Universe Rebirth is arguably justified as a result of this being present. So all these changes are arguably justified, which I think is quite a smart move, rather than simply saying we're starting a reboot because we want to change things and potentially make more money. It actually goes along the line of, let's make this exciting by introducing a villain that changes the context of things. That very being is teased mostly in the cover, mostly the cover art for the first one, I believe, and the one of which I have, I think that is the third reprint, don't quote me on that, but it's the one of which you have Wally reaching out with his hands into what is our view, but in terms of from his view, I would believe it would either be that quote-unquote being, or it would be the light being outside the Speed Force, so Earth. So the whole theme of Lost is, again, reiterated, but the being is made very important, and as of now, we are still kind of, and yes, I say lost, see what I did there, lost, as to what's going on with this same person. So DC is really trying to build this up, and this isn't simply going to be a, you know, a three-issue case-closed situation. In fact, it's taken what is now almost hundreds of issues if we add all the series together, and I don't think we've actually come to any sort of conclusion as to who this is. With the stuff with The Truth of Superman, we've gotten closer, but things aren't particularly looking easy to solve. In fact, it's probably one of the hardest mysteries yet, I think, as DC's teased it to be. So finally, let's actually talk about something that isn't me waffling on about Wally West, and that is the Watchmen. The Watchmen are heavily teased in this book, mostly because of their presence in The Button, which I will possibly be spoiling, as well as Doomsday Clock, which I'm about, I believe, 9 issues in as of now. I believe there are about 2 more left in my collection that I need to get, as it is concluding. But if you own the deluxe edition, you would know that the Watchmen are heavily teased artistically as well as through speech, so linguistically or literally. And the way I feel about that, I think it is quite good that they bring that in, slowly but surely. But I also like how it's not really the most It is obvious, okay, it would be a lie if I said that it's not the most obvious thing, with lines such as nothing ever ends coming right from Dr. Manhattan himself, but at the same time it kind of still feels somewhat ambiguous, as we don't know any intentions of the Watchmen or Dr. Manhattan or anybody in this book, and I'm pretty sure we don't have much of a reason as to why the Watchmen wish to delve into the affairs of our own Earth, as they come from quite a while ago. So merging the two together kind of sparked my interest, as I really wouldn't know what the Watchmen want. They have stuff going on, of course they live in what seems to be quite a dump, if I'm frank about it. They live in quite the dump, yes. But at the same time, where does that relationship come in? And that is what isn't established in DC Universe Rebirth issue 1. And that isn't really a bad thing. If anything, that's a good thing, as it doesn't give you that established link that piques your interest in theory, and you need to read stuff like The Button, Watchmen, and Doomsday Clock to kind of piece everything together. And quickly, while we're on the theme of art and artistic teasers, I'm happy with the art. I don't have any complaints about it, really. I'm happy with most art when it comes to art in general, even when it comes to comic books, I'll just be honest about that now. But I do think that DC's really just up their game every time, especially within their big events. And yeah, it looks great. And I was kind of just thinking if there was anything that I wanted to go through that I didn't cover. And yeah, there was one more that I thought of, and that is the Three Joker plot. And although we don't have much progress on this, thank you, Tom King. Oh yeah, quick story. So I was watching an IGN interview about a few years ago when sort of this was kind of new and Tom King was new to writing. And then we thought that we'll get some progress on the Three Joker plot at SDCC. I think this was SDCC 17 or SDCC 16. And Tom King was coming out with I Am Bane or I Am Batman soon enough. And then he says that when the interviewer asked him whether we would have any content on the Three Joker stuff, he said issue 9 would tease that, and me being really excited for issue 9, waited weeks upon weeks for issue 9. I think we were a few issues before that, and I didn't feel like I saw anything in relation to it. If anything, nothing in relation to it. And that's not like a violation against Tom King, because unpopular opinion, I'm actually quite the fan of Tom King's writing when it comes to Batman. That's nothing against Snyder either, because I think Snyder's doing great work, especially with Batman Last Night on Earth and all of that stuff. But I think DC Universe Rebirth is right for in setting that up with all the three Jokers and the mystery of the Joker. If anything, I think we got more progress on that in Metal, The Forge, and The Casting. But I'm still confused as to why they would tease something so early but not really address it. And I can't really blame DC Universe Rebirth for this, but at the same time, I don't think I have anything else to blame, because it brings something up that sparks your interest, yes. I don't think anyone wouldn't be interested in this. This is probably one of the biggest plotlines or mysteries of the DC Universe. Who exactly is the Joker? And now, why are there three Jokers as to just one as we thought? I'm still confused as to why they would bring that in if they don't really want to address it yet. This is me speaking 3 years later, and there's barely been any explicit progress as to who the Joker is. So I'm slightly mixed about that, but I don't want to end this review badly. In fact, I'm just going to go right to the summary and say what you can take from this. So overall, I think DC Universe Rebirth is a great way of creating a great setup. It brings back old plotlines if we take Flashpoint and things from the New 52, such as the Legacy of the Darkseid War and the Final Days of Superman, and brings that into a new context. On the line of context, new contexts are created and old contexts are brought back to make something that is quite exciting, and it definitely pulled a lot on my interest, hopefully on yours as well, to intrigue you to get into the DC Universe Rebirth line, or reboot if you will. So to conclude, I think DC Universe Rebirth is a great way of creating a great setup, and hopefully a lot of what has been teased will eventually come to pass. So thank you for listening to this episode of the GITM Podcast. That was episode 3. I hope you enjoyed my sort of waffly rant of DC Universe Rebirth, if you will. And hopefully you got some value from it. If you did, why not leave a review on whether that's Apple Podcasts or your podcast app? Gives me an idea as to progress. and what I can do to make you enjoy the show more even, or what I can do to make this show an even better show than it is. So thank you for listening. Of course, if you want to get your opinions across, you can tweet me at GetInTheMecha, or you can just use the hashtag GetInTheMecha, or feel free to email me at GetInTheMecha@gmail.com. That is GetInTheMecha@gmail.com. And hopefully I'll try to answer some questions or just read out some opinions, whether that's on DC Universe Rebirth, whether that's on comics in general, whether that's on Marvel comics, whether that's on manga, whether that's on anime. I am happy to read it, and hopefully I'll try to read about two or three in each episode. So that's going to do it. Next episode, actually, episode 4, I will be speaking about the first 100 episodes of the Boruto series, and where we can sort of move forward from that, and where the show is really going. Last episode, I actually spoke about Tokyo Ghoul Re. It was a bit of a, I don't want to say overly negative review, but it was a lot of my reasons as to why I didn't like the show. So again, that will do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys, you lovely, lovely people. Thank you for listening. Whatever you're doing, have a great, great, great day. And I will hopefully see you in the next one. Goodbye. The sound effects in today's production goes as follows. Sound effects from Subspace Audio. The music in this production goes as follows. Go Lucky by Chasers Gaming. Mandatory Overtime by Joth.